This is 21st Century Reformation at 21stcr.org. Anthony chapter 3, and we're finding here Paul's conclusion to these wonderful people. You get a picture through Paul's words, you get a picture of those folks. They were wonderful people, weren't they?
They were wonderful people, right. And what Paul does here, I'm thinking suddenly of the analogy with music. I mean, this is a Beethoven symphony, you know, par excellence. Isn't it? It's an extraordinary piece of impassioned, succinct writing, too, hitting the nail on the head all the time, which could correct the churches if we would listen to this. It would correct an awful lot of error.
You know, I have a feeling we said that he wrote this letter apparently not long after the first, for clarification in some matters. And I have a feeling that the heart and minds of these people was such that the clarifications came well to them, that they probably got this. And but here we are. Way out here, you think we would be beyond all these problems, we need clarification now. So,
yes, we do. Isn't that wonderful? There are scholars, you know, who don't like this letter. They would say Paul couldn't have written this stuff. I mean, all this eschatological about Antichrist and all that. Come on, you know, we don't do that. But then there's always been a fight to get rid of the apocalyptic Jesus. I mean, Jesus and all of his good, loving things.
Sure.
And so on. That's great, but don't talk to me about the Book of Revelation and God intervening, you know, like the flood, that stuff. They must have put that into Jesus' mouth.
See, this is of course.
We know the apostles might have believed stuff like that, but our Jesus would never have said, bring my enemies in front of me and kill them.
That's
we didn't mention that
that's
one.
Right.
We should do
that.
He couldn't have said that. Well, he actually did.
We got to get real with these things, though.
Yes.
And realize that judgment is an aspect of these letters.
It is. Thankfully.
Great judgment. Yes,
otherwise, things go on forever in chaos, don't
they? That's right.
That's not good.
Judgment will bring us to a better day, a better time.
Conclusion.
We look for that.
Justice.
Yeah. I love it a lot.
Yeah.
Verse 1. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men.
Wow.
My goodness. For not all have faith.
Mm.
Verse 3. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one.
Mm.
Verse 4. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. Isn't that
marvelous?
Wonderful? Yeah.
Confidence.
Yeah. Verse 5. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God.
Mm.
And to the steadfastness of Christ.
Marvelous.
I like that.
Couldn't say it better. It's covered
everything. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. And so here's this love and this steadfastness. But how could you have steadfastness without the clarity of God's word, without the love of the truth that he's been talking to them about? Wow.
Wonderfully consistent.
Yeah.
And there's the Lord's Prayer, protect you from the evil one, deliver us from the evil one.
Yes.
Exactly the words of the Lord's Prayer. Yeah, I love the balance of verse 1, you know, he's very positive, may this Logos word of the gospel of the kingdom spread. He's not despondent about it.
That's right.
But on the other hand, let's be rescued from all the people who are going to oppose us.
On my land, yes. And I think for Paul, the worst thing about the opposers was not the personal harm that it brought to him, but the fact that it was impeding this word going forward and being expressed.
And his beloved church members were threatened. Undermined. They lost their faith, some of them.
Oh, yes, yeah.
That was a tragedy for Paul after all his hard work.
Wow. So now some practical thoughts that
final
he comes to in verse 6. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you receive from us. Wow.
Idleness.
Again, this word tradition in its proper and appropriate sense. In harmony with God's word. We're not opposed to that kind of tradition. We want to embrace it.
That's right.
The tradition that's troubling to us and should be to all Christians is the post-biblical traditions that do not line up with these original teachings and understandings and writings and faith of the people of God.
But there's no room for slackers in the church. You know,
that's right. That's
good,
exactly.
It's
right.
Good old-fashioned work hard or don't eat, right?
That's right. And isn't
very
that
practical.
Just practical?
I would think
I love that.
No sponges on the system.
No, that's right. Verse 7. for you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. My goodness. But with toil and labor, we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Wow. That is a wonderful, isn't it?
It is wonderful.
My goodness.
Yeah.
And Paul, and he says we, so his fellows, they had been over there, and the time that they were there, they didn't take advantage of the people. They didn't even take from them sometimes what would have been right for them to have received from them.
Which is coming in the next verse. Not because we don't have the right as apostles.
Yes,
we have the right to charge you a fee. But we're not doing it because it would be a burden for you.
That's
Isn't that wonderful freedom?
Always thinking of them first. Yeah. It's wonderful.
Wonderful.
And Paul and his compatriots there, not having wives and children, it would seem, at these times, they didn't have the burden of having to care for those little ones and the mouths and
so on.
And
that's right.
And so they were able to wing it. And they did work for their own concerns and needs.
Yes.
And I love it. It's wonderful.
But God would not have criticized them if they'd taken their rights.
Absolutely not.
Muzzle the
ultimate
one who's working.
That's right.
What is it? The ones who work in the Word of God are worthy of double pay.
That's right.
Because it's hard work.
Yes.
And God recognized that.
That's right.
But if you choose not to take it, that's fine too.
And if we call any work honorable, this is certainly more honorable than others, isn't it? My goodness, look at this.
Yeah.
And the price that sometimes those who teach the Word and preach the Word pay, that others don't necessarily pay. You know, Paul told the Corinthians, you know, you're like kings, you're doing wonderful. We're, on the other hand, are the off-scouring of the earth here. Us who are out there preaching
very
this message.
That is, yes. Yeah. So that's that verse 9. Not because we don't have a right. We do have a right, but we're not using that right.
And he spoke along that same line to the Corinthians.
Yes.
Right.
Should we say that mathematical tithing is not taught in the New Testament?
No, absolutely not.
Giving generously to a cause that you believe in is wonderful.
Absolutely.
But the mathematical tithing was to support the Levites.
Certainly.
We're all priests, so how does that work?
Yeah,
it's a different
that's
constitution.
Right. That's right.
Giving is fine.
That's
according
right.
to the way one's been blessed. All of that is wonderful.
Absolutely. That's right.
Yes.
And when we say mathematical tithing is not the plan of the New Testament program, and it's not, we recognize that we're not saying that you couldn't give actually to exceed a tenth. Some may be able to do that.
That's right.
And those who have more means may actually give more than a tenth of their income. Others perhaps can't.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they would... do as all that they could. God loves a cheerful giver.
That's great. That's a good line, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not a meticulous tither, but a cheerful giver.
That's right.
That's the difference.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Verse 10. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. So we're not going to take them on to the dole, or enroll them for. It's not the responsibility of the church to take people to raise, so to speak, in that sense.
No,
especially people who are able to make their own way.
Well, if one's too lazy to work, one's not going to be in the kingdom. I mean, forget this whole thing about developing your talents. If you don't develop your talents, well, the way not to do anything would be to not work, and
you
are by definition disqualified of the kingdom, which is a disaster, isn't it? So it's only kind, actually, to be very tough on somebody who's not going to work.
That's right.
Kindness.
Verse 11.
Yeah.
What do they call that? Tough love?
Tough love.
Maybe so. That's right.
Oh, absolutely.
That's right.
It is tough love.
Verse 11. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ
to work,
to do their work
absolutely
quietly and to earn their own living.
Wow. I hadn't realized until you read this. He's got more than one verse on this.
He really does.
It's a major theme.
Apparently this was a problem there, I would suppose.
I would think it's a constant problem.
We hear this. So he had had report coming back, I guess, from Timothy perhaps others, we don't know, but certainly from Timothy, and evidently there was this problem of those who would not work or would not consistently work and not see to their own needs, and Paul is just making it clear, for those in that state, it's not your responsibility to take them on and keep them up. You know, why should a man who has a home, a family, a wife, and children to tend to, take from them in order to keep up somebody who could work and won't? It makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
No.
I've often thought how valuable these different talents are. You know, I've gotten the habit now of deliberately thanking the guy who fixes our car.
He
keeps that vehicle on the road.
Absolutely.
Mile after mile.
Wonderful.
And I thought, how important is that?
Yes.
Very important.
Yes, absolutely.
He needs praise for that. He does
absolutely
a good job.
That's
He's doing
right.
an honest job, charging a very fair price, you
Surely.
Know, reasonable price.
Absolutely.
Not, and he's got the Ten Commandments even listed there in his office.
And
with New Testament comments even added.
That's right. And surely
and that's a good man.
Surely this fellow is deserving
of
what he receives.
Yes.
And that's very honorable. That's
it's
wonderful.
Honorable.
Absolutely.
No question.
Yeah. Verse 13. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in well-doing.
Well, don't get tired of
and doing good. Right. That's right.
In the right sense. Not a do-gooder.
Yeah.
But doing good in the biblical sense. Don't be tired of it.
That's right. And doesn't that tell us something, Anthony? It is easy for us as Christians to grow weary in doing well, especially when we meet opposition. And they apparently did, from what we've been reading.
Yeah.
Paul knew that those people at Thessalonia, they were embattled and struggled.
Always.
Do not be weary. Don't grow weary in doing well. So that's very important. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person. Have nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed. Do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. And I can picture perhaps that this particularly applied to those who would not work, but thought others should keep him up. He says, if someone will not obey what we're saying in these things, note the person. Let the men of the congregation tell that person, look, we have families to care for ourselves.
Right.
You need to be working an honest job and working so that you could in turn help others.
Exactly.
Instead of
and
always
advertise
looking.
The faith well, too.
Oh, absolutely.
The world's going to watch the slackers and say, what sort of Christians are
that's
these?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yet,
Paul is very careful at this point. He says, don't count him as an enemy.
Right.
This is not your adversary.
That's interesting.
He is your brother who needs help and needs some direction.
That's a good modifier.
I like that.
Isn't it? Yes.
I do like that.
Yes.
So then verse 16, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all.
Interesting.
Wow. Evidently, he really believed the Lord could be with them all.
Yes.
He wants that to be the case.
The Great Commission, I will be with you always, provided
you're
teaching baptism and everything else.
Right.
I'll be with you.
Doing my work.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you're going to leave
out
essential commands, you're taking the risk of God not being with you.
That's right.
That's awful.
That's right. Then we have a problem. Verse 17, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. This is the sign of genuineness in every letter of mine. It is the way I write.
Yes.
Wow.
The devil is so clever, he'll have fake letters going around.
Isn't that, well, you know, he alluded to that.
He did.
He said, if people saying that they're bringing you letters supposedly from us, but he's wanting to make clear, I sign my letters here, so everything I'm writing, you'll know it's me.
Yes.
Look at my signature.
Yes.
I'm taking responsibility and credit for it. In his last words, the grace, the active interventions of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Marvelous.
Worth
pointing out again that our Lord cannot be our Yahweh. You know, people said, I'm so confused about Lord. Does this mean Yahweh or the Lord Jesus? Well, one guide there is that you cannot have my Yahweh.
Yes.
Our Yahweh is impossible in language.
Right.
So our Lord is exactly Adonai, our Lord David, my Lord David. It's the royal title.
Right.
So easy.
And in the New Testament, inevitably, that's Jesus.
That's always Jesus.
When you say, our Lord, my Lord, we're not talking...
Right. I think there's one exception in the book of Revelation, so to cover ourselves. That might be a very occasional exception, but our Yahweh... You can have Adonenu, our Lord God, in the Old Testament, Adonenu, but you cannot have our Yahweh. That's impossible. But you can't have Adonai, my Lord, our Lord David, my Lord David. Isn't that modern?
There you are everywhere
with
that.
It's the king title.
Of course
it is. It's the Messiah title.
Absolutely.
We've turned that into nonsense by saying it's another God in a triune God.
Yes.
Very embarrassing for people one day when Jesus points this out.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. It'll be interesting when Jesus calls us all to account before him and then lays out, here's the deal, folks.
That's
this is the way it is. Well, he started out with clarity, speaking about who God is and who Jesus is, and he winds it up by saying, it's the Lord, Jesus, Messiah, that we want to be with you all.
Yes, that is not difficult.
Yeah, I love that a lot. Well, this is extraordinary.
It's a great privilege.
These folks did well. They had difficulties. They had some problems. Had some misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes the misunderstandings of some of the New Testament churches and people to our advantage.
Oh, absolutely.
It's what prompted Paul to write. I said those poor Corinthians had all sorts of difficulties. Wonderful people,
cool.
I'm sure, but they had all these problems. But I'm not sure we'd have the book of 1 Corinthians today had they not had their difficulties.
Or the book of Galatians.
Well, there you go.
They hadn't had their Jewish roots
Howling the Jewish roots issues. And
nothing's changed. I mean, there's only a certain range of things the devil can think of. You know, you wonder what's the trick he's got up his sleeve coming along.
That's right.
But we can see the Jewish roots thing. You mix the Old Testament with the New. You can see that doesn't matter what you do thing.
Right.
You can see that baptism in water is a legalism. We don't do that.
That's right.
All
nonsense.
Of these tricks are a constant
nonsense.
And
that's
exhausting,
right.
Actually.
Absolutely.
We need to get them straight.
And I like Paul's here in this 2 Thessalonians, this emphasis on the significance, the power and importance of truth.
Oh, totally.
It distinguishes the children of the kingdom from the children of error darkness.
Oh, absolutely. Because the devil is a liar from the beginning. And if you're getting it wrong, if you're preaching lies, you're on the wrong side.
I think, and we would say, very quickly, we're not necessarily possessors of all truth.
No.
We would think not. But we are clear on this.
Mm-hmm.
We want to possess all truth that God will help us with, bless us with, help us to grasp and understand. Yes. And that should be the view of every Christian.
Absolutely. And if we're wrong, let somebody write to us.
Surely. Absolutely.
And we're certainly listening. We're not the ultimate dogma.
That's right.
Heaven forbid. That's awful.
Right. Absolutely.
However, some things are rather clear. That
that's
God
right.
is one person.
Yeah.
It's 1,300 times God is the Father.
Yeah.
11,000 times at least, God is a singular personal pronoun. It just is. Language has any meaning, it just is a fact that the kingdom of God is the gospel.
That's right.
Otherwise, scripture is gone.
We want to have, certainly, open hearts and minds in regard to that. But I would be amazed if we're going to learn at this point that God is two or three different ones, two or three individuals who are supposedly one God. I don't picture that ever working or seeing that.
No.
Likewise, that Jesus is actually a dual fellow with multiple...
Part angel, part man,
part whatever.
Part
all these,
no, 100% part, God, 100% man,
none
100%
of this,
angel,
100%. Yeah.
No, that's too difficult.
I think we've gotten beyond those kinds of issues
yes,
now.
Yes.
And, once you see through those things,
that's right.
It's not hard.
No.
But and the kingdom. I mean, the kingdom is rather clear, I think.
But I thought the world needed that desperately.
Yeah.
We're all looking for the right government.
That's right.
We're going to have it.
That's right.
And you're going to be part of it.
That's right.
It's not just something's going to happen externally to us.
Mm.
We are. I like that. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Yes, yes.
Daniel 7:27 says, all nations are going to have to obey the saints, actually.
That's right. That's absolutely
That's a
right.
rather startling proposition, isn't it?
And...
incredible.
And you know, in the clarity too of the resurrection and the power of the second coming of Christ, to me, I think I would be amazed. Like I say, we want to have an open mind, but I would be amazed to to see anything different at this point.
Exactly.
It's those things are so clear.
I think. So you can say to your unbelieving friends, I mean, how do you count for Luke, let's say? They say, well, we don't know if Luke wrote it. It doesn't matter. Somebody wrote that.
That's right.
It does matter, but I mean, for the purpose of the argument.
That's right.
Somebody wrote that material. We're still reading.
That's right.
How would you explain it other than on the basis that it's true?
That's exactly
Give me a better explanation of Luke. He sat down one day and said, I'll find something really tricky to deceive these people, and wrote all that stuff down. It doesn't sound like that to me.
That's right. Okay.
Then what if it's true?
Yeah.
What if they did have lunch with Jesus after he came back from death? That gets my attention.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, all of that sounds amazingly real to me.
Oh, yeah.
As I read the scriptures, absolutely. And as I've read them really over real. Time, I begin to realize this was for real. This is real stuff we're really looking is. At here. Real yeah. things, real right. events, real circumstances, right. real words.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
And yeah. it's
a genuine
it's
thing,
stuff.
It is. Otherwise, you're going to have to say, this is all fake. Luke, as a historian, has every sign of writing very intelligent Greek mm-hmm. in the style of a historian.
Yes.
And he says to Theophilus, you know, I've carefully, he could have talked to Mary.
Yes.
Investigate all this. Then I'll write a bunch of fiction. That doesn't make any
no sense
to
all.
Me
That's right.
at all.
That's right.
I don't think you can get away with that.
That's right. I have said that I think in some ways the backbone of my faith and understanding in the scriptures is Luke's writings.
Yes.
Luke,
oh, yes.
in the book of Luke,
oh,
and
yes.
then Luke in the book of Acts.
Oh, yes.
When I put them together, it's beautiful, it's powerful, it's wonderful. It makes such good
makes
sense.
Perfect sense.
Yeah.
It does.
I love it. So, yeah. So I'm with them. And then Paul, look at, we've been reading,
right.
working our way through the letters of
yes.
Paul. But look at the consistency.
Amazing.
The issue. And right. the wisdom, as we've
Huge.
Said before.
And the range, too. Wisdom. He does everything,
yes.
doesn't he? From comforting the little old lady in the front row to reprimanding the leaders.
That's right. That's right.
No, it's incomparable literature. I mean, no literature has been studied as this has. Are they all taken in, or is this the real diamond? You know,
yes.
This is the real gem that we're so drawn to. Yeah. Unfortunately, tradition, as you said earlier, from the second century, has tended to spoil all this.
Yes, yes.
The dogmas yeah. have overtaken yeah. the simplicity of
that's
truth.
Right.
That's the mess we're in.
Yes. These later traditions yeah. have literally gummed up, if you will, the storyline, misdirected, misguided
right.
our thinking, people's
right.
thinking, and but wow, when you get back to the real truth, it just explodes
right.
on the page. Doesn't
right.
it? I think it's wonderful.
Yeah,
and I love these words. I love these things.
Yeah,
and like I say, it's that same hope that Paul kept talking about that gets me up in the morning, and that I want to be a part of this program.
What else is there?
Yeah.
I don't know what you could, you know, what is more important than that? The football match? I don't think so. I like ice cream
That's
in
right.
the evening, but
yeah.
it doesn't compare with the level of intensity that these people
yeah.
bring to us.
Well, we have the scripture bringing us that, you know, the things of this age are transitional.
Yes.
They're fading
right.
as we, you know, they're used up
yeah.
with the using. What are we worried about?
Yeah.
It's all, but boy, this age to come, the kingdom of God.
Yes.
As ruled over by Jesus Christ and his people.
Exactly. And
that
your face shining like
fabulous.
The sun and your strength and you're living forever. I'm convinced, Paul says, that the troubles of this age cannot be compared.
Ah, yes.
It's the Georgia, you ain't seen nothing yet.
That's right.
Phrase again, isn't
That's
it?
Right. That's
it's
right.
incomparably greater. But it's only going to appear incomparably greater if we work at studying this.
Yes. yes.
And I think the level of Bible study in churches has fallen to an all-time low.
It's really terrible.
You
yeah.
cannot do it on a 5-minute sermon with one
That's
verse.
Right.
It's
That's
not
right.
going to. It's not going to
That's
count.
Right. That's right.
It's not going to take in
right.
view of the opposition.
Well, and
it.
Without good, firm, sure, solid
Absolutely.
Words of as Paul
yeah.
is giving here,
yes.
if people are not getting that today, then what gets them through when they have their trials, difficulties,
That's
the
right.
afflictions,
yeah.
the hardships? They won't have this.
They won't have it,
to
no.
get them through
no.
and. So I think our ministry today in our Christian world owes more to people
mm-hmm.
than what we're often giving them in terms of
oh,
the
yes.
Word of God.
Oh, absolutely.
And certainly the clarity of this message about the one God and Jesus
absolutely.
As Messiah.
It's what we need, revival.
And,
get back
yeah,
to the easy, the creed is
absolutely.
Essential.
Absolutely.
We cannot discard the creed of Jesus
yes.
and call ourselves Christian. That's going
right.
to be highly embarrassing
right.
in Judgment Day.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
I don't want to be in that side of the
I
fence.
Do not either. And wow. So if you're going to receive the love of truth,
yes,
then I think you
be
would want to start with those great
yes.
essential truths
oh, yes.
that God
yes.
is only one, not two
exactly.
or three.
And
that
in
Jesus is indeed
yes.
his true human
right.
son.
Right.
That he is the Messiah, the Christ,
right.
the Anointed One.
And what's amazing to me, Dan, is that none of these tracts, you can test this. Go into any Christian bookstore, pick up a tract on how to get saved, and you won't find Jesus' salvation method there.
Oh.
I guarantee you will not find the phrase gospel about the kingdom of God in any tract. This is not rocket science. You can test that.
Yes.
Ask any church member, what is the gospel? Almost certainly they'll say it's not anything to do with the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus died and wrote that, of course, is essential.
Absolutely.
But the kingdom is the missing element.
Certainly.
And they can write to us at, you know, 21st century or my website, restorationfellowship.org. I'll happily send them the kingdom material in any form they, if they're investigating it. It's staggering, the absence of the core of Jesus' teaching. Even from church, the absence is frightening.
I think sometimes the ministry will not do better until people begin to press them.
That's right.
And to put this before them. Why aren't you preaching that God is one?
Right.
Why are you preaching God is two or three different ones? What is that all about?
What is that?
Why aren't you preaching that Jesus is the true begotten Son of God?
Exactly. Luke 1,
human Son of God. And you're what's all this? He's dual guys or something.
What about obedience to the first commandment of Jesus? Repent and stop not believing in the kingdom.
Yes, there you go. That's right.
Not repent and tidy up your life. Right. That's important too.
Yeah.
But why don't you begin to believe in the kingdom of God, which is the restoration of what Adam lost? That makes sense.
Absolutely.
Now we're recovering what we lost in Adam.
Absolutely.
But you don't get that. You get this flimsy, accept Jesus.
Yes, yes.
A gospel, as somebody said, of sin management. You know, if I can just be sure I've been forgiven, and I'll go to heaven and do who knows what.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting the story. You're getting part of the story while thinking you've got the story. That's very dangerous.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, I hope that more and more Christians will begin to kind of shake themselves and wake up, and then press their ministry and expect more from them.
Absolutely.
Only then, perhaps, will our ministry begin to respond better.
Yes. And I think America is a place for this to happen. There are a lot of good people who are intent on getting Jesus somehow. I just don't think they're getting good information.
Yes,
And that's the thing. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, both in Hosea and Isaiah, twice over.
Yes, yes.
Must have knowledge. You must have understanding and clarity.
Wow.